Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Today, we will be talking about a very juicy topic, the 5 life-changing benefits of celibacy. Many of you know that I am a Christian psychologist, so this topic comes up quite a bit. And in a nutshell, the struggle that people have is wanting to be celibate and wanting to honor God with their bodies, but not being real sure if it's worth it, if they can do it, if they're gonna fail, what's gonna happen with their relationship. So it's a topic that is kind of discussed, but not really. And I think sometimes in the church, the conversation is just don't do it. And while that sounds simple, people need something tangible. We need their questions answered because I believe that God doesn't want us to live miserable lives. I believe that God wants us to live an abundant life. God wants us to be joyful and fulfilled. And part of that enjoyment includes a natural desire for sex. But what do you do if you are single and you're in a relationship with someone and you want to have sex, or you've already had sex, but you really want to be celibate? So today we're going to talk about 5 life-changing benefits of celibacy. So go ahead and grab a paper and pen or open your notes app and grab a drink and let's get started. So right off the top, it's really important that we establish a basic understanding of the difference between celibacy and abstinence. I see these words thrown around interchangeably quite a bit, and I want you to think of celibacy as more on a spiritual level, right? But I think what many people practice is actually abstinence. And abstinence is not having sex for a certain amount of time. So think about the whole 90-day rule, right? So you just meet somebody and you decide, you know what, for the first 90 days, we're not going to have sex. Or you just decide for your own personal health, you're just not going to have sex, let's say for a year. Some people give themselves 6 months, whatever it could be. So it's really for a certain amount of time that you determine, right? But if you think about celibacy, celibacy to me is more spiritually based and it does not have a time limit on it unless you get married, if we're looking at things biblically. But celibacy has a deeper meaning to it, okay? So one of the first life-changing benefits of celibacy is the more obvious benefit of increased intimacy with God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 from the NIV version says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So let's us put a pin in verse 2 because we will come back to that. But this first part encourages us as Christians to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. From my understanding, the idea behind that scripture is that we are to present our bodies as pure as we can for the purpose of holy and sanctified living. It is a living sacrifice. And in the King James versions, it tells us that this is our reasonable service. So when it talks about being a reasonable service, I think this verse encourages us not only to treat other people well, right? So, you know, the Bible talks about how we're supposed to treat one another with loving kindness and all those kinds of things. It's also encouraging us to take care of our bodies, not just with exercise and nutrition, but also with what we allow into our bodies sexually. If you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 12, the NIV version says, "I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. You say, food for the stomach and stomach for the food, and God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh, but whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body." So it's very clear, and we know this, that God has a standard for sex within the confines of marriage, right? So I'm not here to say that you're a sinner, you're going to hell, and different things like that. What I am here to encourage you to think about is, if this is something in your life that is getting in the way of your intimacy with Christ, then is it worth it to abstain from it? Is it worth it to be celibate? And most of the people that I've talked to down through the years, both personally and professionally, have talked to me about this struggle with wanting to have a closer walk with God. And they're trying to figure out, what is missing? What do I need to do? And one of the most powerful ways to get closer to God is celibacy. Remember when we read the second verse in Romans chapter 12, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So the second life-changing benefit of celibacy is, you will have a right perspective about the relationship. I know that I'm not the only one, and I know that the people I've talked to are not the only one who have experienced confusion about relationships, where you just think about it and obsess over it and ponder about it and try to figure things out. And is this the right person for me? And is this the person that God wants for me? Is God trying to show me a sign? Am I misinterpreting the relationship? And it goes on and on and on, so much so that it causes a lot of anxiety and torment. So when we are celibate, we are able to have a renewed mind, and we will be able to test and approve what is God's will. A lot of times we get so focused on a relationship or on the person that we can unintentionally idolize the person or the relationship. We get confused, and you're on the fence about whether the relationship is for you and whether it's the person is the right one for you. And if you just stop and think about sex for a minute, sex does exactly what God designed it to do. It creates soul ties, and it creates strong emotional bonds. Now, how beautiful is that? It does exactly what it's designed to do. But if we are engaging in casual sex, if we are engaging in sex outside of marriage, those soul ties can produce cloudiness and idealization and idolization that should not be there, right? So if you take a relationship, you really, really, really like this person, right? Everything seems to be going well. It's only natural to want to be around this person. It's only natural to be physically attracted to them and to want to have sex. That part is very, very healthy. So I don't want you to walk away from this podcast beating yourself up, because God put those desires there for a reason. I think the challenge comes in when we have sex, right? And then there are those strong emotional bonds, those soul ties. Then we start to misperceive things. We can start to overlook things and compromise on things that you wouldn't otherwise compromise on. Or think about how clear you're able to hear some things that are not being said before you have sex with somebody. So run your mind back to how clear things are before you have sex with that person. Then after you have sex with them, then it seems like there can be just little drops of cloudiness and confusion. When you have the right perspective about a relationship or a person, it decreases the odds of you getting in or staying in situationships and relationships that are not God's will for you. A third life-changing benefit of celibacy is decrease of, or the absence of, guilt and shame. One of the things I know a lot of people struggle with is feeling guilty after they've had sex, right? It's like, well, the sex itself wasn't so bad, but then it's like, then what do I do with the guilt? Because now I feel like I have disappointed God and I've disappointed myself. And then that guilt usually comes along with shame, because then people start to worry, oh, well, I wonder, do they see me differently now? Maybe they don't value me as much because now I have given myself to him. I have given myself to her. Do they think that I'm fake because I did say I was celibate and now we've slipped up? Do they think less of me? Do they want to see somebody else now? So think about all of the questions and doubt that you've had when you've had sex with somebody outside of marriage. And then you'll see that most times those questions are rooted in guilt and shame. And so when we are celibate, there's either a decrease or an absence of guilt or shame altogether. You'll actually have a healthy dose of pride and an increase in your sense of self, because you've been able to control those very natural urges. A lot of times people focus on fruits of the spirit, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. But often self-control is not added to that list. And we must remember that self-control is one of the fruits of the spirit. A fourth life-changing benefit to celibacy is relief from comparison and performance anxiety. I mean, let's be real. We all want to look good, right, for ourselves. And when we are dating someone, when we are in love with someone, or when it's just casual sex, whatever your situation may be, you want to look good for this person. You want to perform sexually for this person. You want to be pleasing to this person sexually, right? And sex brings about comparison and performance anxiety. If you know that this person also maybe is not a virgin, then you might start comparing yourself. I wonder if they were really pleased with me. I wonder if she thinks that her ex was better than me. I wonder if I need to start doing more things sexually to keep his attention. So you see how celibacy can curb those thoughts? Sometimes there's going to be a comparison if there's other areas of insecurity, but specifically with this example, I'm talking about more of that sexual performance anxiety. A fifth life-changing benefit of celibacy is increased emotional intimacy. And this one makes sense, because when sex is not involved, and I won't get into all the nuances of, does kissing count? Does oral sex count? Does hugging count? Does holding hands count? All of that, right? We won't get into all of that. But Let's just take, for the sake of this short podcast, we're talking about anything sexual, right? Anything that has to do with intercourse. When that is not part of the equation, you're able to have deeper, more meaningful conversations. It challenges both of you to have discussions about one another's values and goals and dreams, and you can really see what your relationship is made of. I'm sorry to see that so many people think they have a strong relationship, and when sex is removed from the relationship, they don't have anything. They have crumbs. If this is a healthy relationship, celibacy actually increases trust in one another. Because I've heard people say to me, well, if he slept with me, then he's probably sleeping with somebody else. Or if she slept with me this fast, then how many other people has this happened to? And I don't know that I trust her. Your partner may not be talking to you and asking you these kinds of questions, but I guarantee you these are the kinds of questions that represent distrust that your partner is thinking to themselves. So I think celibacy actually helps you to have a really clear perspective about your relationship, and it provides an intense level of emotional intimacy with the right person. So those five life-changing benefits of celibacy are increased intimacy with God, having a right perspective about the relationship, decreased or absence of guilt and shame, relief from comparison and performance anxiety, and increased emotional intimacy with your partner. So I hope those five quick nuggets will give you something to think about if you are wanting to be celibate and you're just not sure. Hopefully these five tips can help you at least consider more strongly taking a step in that direction if you believe that's where God is leading you. I do want to quickly answer two questions I get quite a bit. And this first one is, if we don't have sex, how will I know that we are sexually compatible? This is a very valid question because we do think about areas of compatibility in relationships when it comes to parenting style, money spending habits, physical fitness goals, education and career goals and compatibility and things like that. So I definitely do understand the natural desire to want to make sure that you are sexually compatible. So the way that I typically answer this question is twofold. In the natural sense, it does make sense to want to know if you are sexually compatible. But if you think about having sex, it doesn't matter if we have sex on day one or if we have sex on our wedding day. We're going to have to learn each other anyway, right? And so we're going to have to teach one another what we like, what we don't like, what we're willing to try, what we're not willing to try. We're going to have to share at least a certain amount of details about our sexual histories, right? We're going to have to share any type of sexual traumas that might impact the way we show up in the bedroom or the way we don't show up in the bedroom, right? Those are all things that will have to be taught because everybody is different. What you like with this person may not be what you like with the next person. What you might want me to try, I may not be willing to try either at all, or I may not be willing to try it right now. And so the point I make with that is, if this is the only area that you believe you cannot teach one another and learn from one another, then that signifies a bigger issue beyond sexual compatibility. If I love you, I may not like certain things, but I would want you to teach me certain things. If you love me, you would want to naturally please the other person within reason, right? So that's more of an answer on the natural level. But on the spiritual level, I also say that asking that question is a trust issue in God. Because if we are believing for God to bring us a spouse, if we are believing for God to bring us someone who can make us happy emotionally, who can protect us, who can provide for us, and all those wonderful things on your list, then why is this the area that you are not sure about? Why is this specifically a question for you? If you trust God in these other areas, but you don't trust Him to bring you someone who is sexually compatible with you. If you trust God to bring you someone who you've prayed for and about in these other areas, then why is there not any trust in the area of sexual compatibility? So that's just a question that I'll leave for you to think on in response to the question, how will I know if we're sexually compatible if we don't have sex? And then the second question that I often get is something along the lines of, what if I try being celibate and the relationship ends? My question to you, if you have that question, is, isn't that something you would want to know? God won't withhold anything good from you. And if the person tells you, hey, this is not something that I'm willing to do, I think that's actually a very admirable thing for a person to know about themselves and to say to you. You would rather a person tell you, hey, I don't think I'm willing to try this, or I don't think that I can be in a relationship with somebody who is celibate and I love you, but this is just not, I'm just not there yet. And that's okay. It may hurt. I'm not saying that it won't hurt. I'm not saying that it won't be disappointing. But would you rather keep this person and keep this relationship and then experience guilt after every time you have sex? Because if that's not in your heart to do, it's not something that it sounds like you would have peace about, right? Like you might actually enjoy the act itself. But usually when people talk to me about it, there's this chipping away at their moral conscience because they ultimately, like, their heart truly wants to please God. So then you have to ask yourself, is my relationship with myself and is my relationship with God more important than keeping this person? So let us end on that note and we will move into our prayer time. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to come and talk about a very relevant topic. Many of us have a heart's desire to please you, and we want tangible ways to live out our Christian values. So I pray that there's been something said today that has been eye-opening for every listener on this podcast. I pray that you give them enlightenment and empower them and encourage them to walk in the ways of Christ and to let them know that when we stumble, you are quick to forgive us and that you are not ashamed of us and that you want us to come to you and talk to you about any areas of weakness. And it's in your Son, Jesus' name, that we pray. Amen. Well, that is all the time that we have for today. If there was something that was helpful to you, or if there's something on this episode even that you disagreed with, send me a DM on IG at Dr. Q Perry. And also be sure to share this podcast with your friends or even your partner to keep the conversation going. Until next time, take care.